رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا بالقاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المنتجبين المنتخبين المعصومين المظلومين الذين أطهر الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من يوم عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه الكريم وقوله الحق وهو أصدق القائلين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل
محمد. In the holy book of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Surah Al-Imran says, the only religion in the sight of Allah Almighty is Islam. We have already gone through why He has chosen Islam as the only religion in His sight. What are the merits of Islam? Today, our topic is regarding its influence on individual and social life of a person. How it impacts upon an individual life of a person and his social life. As we all know, that the topic of this 10 majalis is Islam, the religion of belief and action. Under that topic, we are examining these different topics as subtopic. But now I want to speak something about the heading, the topic itself, where it says the religion of belief and action, so that we could connect ourselves with today's topic. When we talk about belief, belief is something that we get to it after examining it, after testing it, after believing in it, and we come to a conclusion that yes, this is something which cannot be changed. How we come to a conclusion that a particular thought becomes a belief? Because what belief actually is, in Arabic we say aqeedah. It comes from the word uqda. Uqda means a knot. If you tie something with like a knot, it's called uqda, a tie, a knot. So what is aqeedah basically? Aqeedah is something that a person get a thought in his mind. It can be positive, it can be negative. It can be spiritual, it can be materialistic. Every thought comes into our mind, it is thought. Until we make that thought stay over there. And nobody can say that he doesn't get our negative thoughts. Even the most pious people get the negative thoughts in their mind. So, when does these thoughts become aqeedah? If that thought comes into our mind and we make it stay over there, we like the thought. If it stays over there, after a while it becomes an aqeedah. It can be good and it can be bad. Nobody can say whatever is coming to his mind is always good. Or whatever is coming to his mind is always bad. No, it's both the things. It can be good, it can be bad. It depends upon us how we examine this thought to be good or bad. Because we, the believer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our aqeedah is the tawheed, is the ultimate truth. There can be one Allah, one God, nobody else. We can't have more than one God. La ilaha illallah. There is no God but Allah. But if you look at those people who believe in different gods, in number of gods, in hundreds, in thousands, so they do believe that there can be more than one God. So that is their aqeedah. That thought came to their mind and they made it stay over there. So that thought is now their aqeedah. So it can be positive and it can be negative. But the thing is, the aqeedah itself is not going to give any harm to anybody. Because aqeedah is something which we believe in it. It's just a thought. It's in our mind. It can't harm anyone. But how to express that aqeedah when it comes into the stage of expressing it, it needs action. We just say like we believe in Allah, we are the lovers of Ahl Bayt, we know that there are good people and bad people, we know that there are good things and bad things, but we don't show that good things and bad things, and we don't show our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we don't express our love towards Ahl Bayt. That is not going to help us until and unless we don't express that thought by our actions. We believe in Allah, that's good for us. But how can you show that belief is actual? To prove your point that this belief which I believe in, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the only creator, He is the only sustainer, this belief can only be expressed by our actions. So belief and actions act side by side. If you show an action which is not according to your belief, or if you believe in something and you act you're not acting according to your belief, you can't prove that this is not your aqeedah. Your belief has to work in the same way what you believe in, and your action has to be the mode of expression of your belief is your action. You have to express your belief by your actions. If we are not expressing our love for Ahl Bayt by our actions, then we are just claiming it to be the lovers of Ahlul Bayt. We are not expressing it by our actions. For expressing it by our actions, we need to believe. Because we own, ultimately, everybody, we can fake it. There is another way. We can fake it, but ultimately the truth is in our heart. We know one day that truth is going to come out. If we believe in the being the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, that has to show, we have to show this love in our actions. If we claim, just we are just claiming it by our tongue, that yes, we are the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, we can do whatever they want from us, we are ready to sacrifice our lives, but when the time comes, we are not ready to do that. We are not ready to do that. So belief and action walk side by side. What we believe in and what our action says. We might have different things for different circumstances. For example, two people from two different places with two different beliefs can live together. There is no harm, there is no issue in it. So today we are talking about the individual belief and action and the social beliefs and action. A life of a person can be divided into three parts. According to the ayat of Quran, the very first ayat, the very beginning of the Surah Baqarah, it says, Alif Lam Mim Dhalika Al-Kitab La Rayba Fi Hudan Lil Muttaqin. This is the book where there is no doubt in it, and this is for the hidayat and for the guidance of muttaqin. And who are the muttaqin? Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghayb wa yuqimuna as-salat wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun. These muttaqin have got three qualities in them. First of all, they believe in ghayb. They believe in hidden things. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in ghayb. If you don't believe in Allah, if you don't believe in ghayb, we can't believe in Allah. Nobody has seen Him. Nobody can see Him. It's not like today we can't see Him, we can see Him tomorrow. It's never. So very first quality of a muttaqi is he has to believe in ghayb. The second one, الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, those who pray. The third one is وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. They do infaq, they give others from whatever they're getting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a sustenance, as a rizq. So there are three types of people, three connections which an individual possess. In the first one, if you look at it, where it says, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, that means there is a connection which an individual possess. It's between him and between God. It's between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't put anyone else in the middle. It's between you and the ghayb. So there is one connection of an individual which he has between himself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the God. That's one. In the other word, the second one, it says, يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. The second part is actually, it's between him and himself. He is praying for himself. Allah is not getting anything out of that. You're praying for yourself. It's like studying. Whenever our teacher says, why don't you study? Yesterday was a holiday, today is a holiday, Sundays are holiday, why not you studying? You should get better marks. Why teacher is so concerned about us studying? He or she is not going to get anything out of it. If whether I pass in my exam or whether I fail in my exam, that is not going to benefit her anyways. So when we study, when our brothers and sisters study, who are in their schools and colleges, their studying is not benefiting the teacher. It's actually benefiting themselves. Same way, when we pray, we are not helping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not doing anything for him. We are actually doing for ourselves. It is the connection which a person is establishing with himself. So second part is a person and his connection with himself. And the third part, مِمَّا رَضَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. In the third part, a person is trying to establish a connection between himself and other individuals. Like, if I'm getting a rizq, if I'm getting a sustenance, if I'm earning something, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking me to do infaq. You have to get it and give it to someone else. It's very beautiful, the word which has been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. The word infaq, or the word nafaqa, which we hear between husband and wife, that whenever there is a marriage ceremony, there is a word of a nafaqa, that it is wajib on a husband to give sustenance, to give nafaqa to his wife. What is this nafaqa? We think it's just giving them bread, giving them clothes, giving them whatever they need. It is nafaqa. That is nafaqa actually. But what is the word nafaqa actually means? The word nafaqa comes from the word nifq. The word nifq in Arabic means tunnel. That means the both sides, there is an opening to the both sides. So actually, when the nafaqa becomes wajib on a husband, he should not think that now my wife, or this woman who has become my wife and living in my home, she is dependent upon me. She is not dependent upon you. Allah said, you are the nifq, you are the tunnel. I am going to give her rizq through you. You are not the raziq, you are not the her sustainer. You are just the medium in the middle. I'm going to use you as the medium to give her the rizq. Some people think, okay, if I'm not going to give her the rizq, give her the food, she'll starve and die. No, that's not going to happen. Because raziq, the sustainer, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the beautiful word he used as a nifq. You are just a medium in the middle through which he is going to give the rizq to her. And infaq, it's come from the similar and the same word nifq. When we think that, okay, I'm helping somebody who is the needy person, who needs us to get help, to give him help, whenever we are helping, we are actually giving him his part of the rizq. We are just the medium in the middle. We are not giving it from our pocket. We are just the medium in the middle. We are just the mode from which he is getting this rizq. Otherwise, we are not the sustainer. We can't even get our rizq. We can't even help ourselves. How are we going to help others? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using our pocket to help others. Otherwise, he can use someone else. The infaq is something which we are getting from someone else and we are passing it over to someone else. So an individual has three aspects of his life. First one is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second one is between he and himself. And third one is between he and other people. So the first one is completely spiritual. Establishing connection with Allah is between me and Allah. Whenever there a third person enters in this connection, Allah goes out. The one of the names of Allah is Ghayyur. He has got a lot of Ghayra. Ghayyur, whenever he sees that someone else is coming in, he sees, okay, he can come in, but I'm leaving. That is why whenever there is somebody, if he's praying, he should pray just for Allah. لِلَّهًا وَإِخْلَاسًا لِلَّهِ قُرْبَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ. We pray our prayers قُرْبَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ. We want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to do something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has to be completely for Allah. If we make a partner with someone else, that is shirk. Maybe it's not shirk in the meaning of you started believing in someone else apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is called shirk khafi. We don't know, but we started to believe that, okay, we have to impress this person. For example, I'm praying in a mosque early in the morning before namaz al-subh, before salat al-subh, before azan. I'm praying, and all of a sudden, I'm praying normally, in whatever way I pray. All of a sudden, I feel that somebody just entered the mosque. Now I'm more careful. I will improve my qira'at, so that he should know that, okay, the Mawlana is here, the Alim is here early in the morning, he's praying his namaz, his shab, or whatever namaz he's praying. And he's praying with all his attention. So now, the moment I improve my qira'ah or actions or whatever, that is the moment when I am not praying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I'm praying for the person who has entered the mosque. And later on, I found out that door just shut because of the wind. And nobody's there. Even that, it considered that because I was trying to show off that my qira'at, alhamdulillah, is very good, and I'm trying to impress the person who has just entered the mosque. So actually in that moment, it was not between me and Allah. It was me and between someone else I didn't know. So that is not the connection we should establish. When we are trying to establish a connection between me, ourselves, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has to be purely between us and Allah. Sometimes, most of us try to fast whenever it is possible, whenever it is mustahab, like every Friday, every beginning of the month, in the middle of the month, at the end of the month, it is mustahab to fast. Every Thursdays, every Friday, it is mustahab to fast. But some people, when they fast, and when they after fasting, they go out and visit their relatives. The moment they enter, this is a trend. Like we ask, like, oh, what would you like to have? Would you like to have some juice, or would you like to have some tea or coffee? So sometime when we fast, we want others to find out about it. So when we are fasting, a mustahab fast, because we don't do that in Maha Ramadan, everybody is trying to sleep and get time to rest, because everybody else is fasting. But when we are fasting a mustahab fast, we want everyone else to find out that, yes, today is Dahwul Ard, and now I'm fasting. And so there is a lot of sabah for Dahwul Ard to fast on that day. And I'm fasting. Okay, today is the first of the month, it is mustahab to fast, I'm fasting. So I'm visiting my relatives, my friends, and they're asking me, so what would you like to have? Would you like to have tea or coffee? Or some juice? And I'm saying, no, I wouldn't like to have anything. Why, what's wrong? Are you feeling all right? Yes, I'm feeling all right. So what's wrong? So actually I'm fasting today. And then, okay, I'm sorry. You were fasting, I didn't know. Okay, my omission is done. Now, I'll go to some other place. Another person will ask me, what would you like to have? And I'll say this. After going to 5 houses, I will come back. Now people know that on every mustahab fast, I'm fasting. Whenever it is mustahab, I'm fasting. That's it. My mission is done. So what I'm actually trying to do, I'm trying to fast for the love of God, but trying to get some personal gains from out of it. Like, I have to show off people that I'm actually not even fasting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm a very pious person. I'm trying to impress others. Why? Because we didn't understand the meaning of ibadat. If we would have understood the meaning of ibadat, then this is not the way of doing ibadat. We are trying to involve every other person into our ibadat. Whenever anyone apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes into our ibadah, that ibadah is for that person, is not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please recite salawat. So we have to be very careful. what we are doing, how we are doing. It's very important on how we are doing. Because when we are doing certain things for the love of Allah, for the love of Ahlul Bayt, it's the actions which says what we are actually doing. Our belief, nobody has seen our beliefs, what we believe in. Our action has to be the manifestation of our beliefs. It should manifest our belief by our actions. If we don't do that, and whatever we believe in, nobody has seen our belief, as I said. The action has to be the mirror of our belief. Now, when a person is living in the society, the Islam is telling you then how you have to behave while you're alone and how you have to behave when you are among others. And we may say that, okay, whatever I believe is my personal choice. It doesn't have to do what my neighbor thinks, what my friends think, what the other people at my workplace think. But actually, whatever we believe as an individual has an impact on our social lives. We may ignore it, we may not believe in it, but with a simple example I would like to show you how our personal belief impacts on our social life. For example, God forbid, if there is some sort of fight between two groups, one is a Muslim group or one is some other community, some other followers of some other religion. Being a Muslim, automatically I have to be on the Muslim side. And my closest friend, who's not from our community, is a very good friend of mine. But for example, he's a Hindu or a Christian. Ultimately, in this scenario, in this position, he is going to be on the other side. He may be my best friend, my fastest friend for like 25 years from childhood. But the moment it comes between my belief and his belief, he is going to be on the other side. So our individual belief has to be so strong. When it comes to the community, we can show our belief as a community, in the community, to the others. We have to make ourselves, as I said, we may portray that we believe in something else, but one day eventually our real belief will come out. So we have to make our belief so strong that it remains intact and we can show it whenever you want. We should believe in whatever we're doing. That is why the Islam said it's just not the religion of belief, it's a religion of action. As an individual, we have certain teachings. What we have to do, how we have to do. As an individual, we have the responsibility of taking care of our elders, as our parents, our wives, whoever we are the responsible of. As an individual, we have to take care of them. But as a person living in a society, we have to take care of others too. It doesn't matter what religion they follow. It doesn't matter what kind of thought they have. For example, if we are living in a building, in a society, like in a city of Mumbai, most of the people live in apartments. If we, in the month of Muharram, it's a holy month of Muharram, and we would like to put some noha on a loudspeaker in our flat, we are actually trying to express our love towards Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. But while doing this, we are actually, when we are putting this noha on a loud, we are actually hurting our neighbors. We have to take care of them. Being a good Muslim doesn't mean that we already have to show ourselves. We don't have to show off. If we just have to establish our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever we do, it has to be for Allah. Like the verse of Quran says, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Even in this verse, it says everybody is in a loss apart from those who believe in Allah
and they do salih thing. What is salih? What is salih thing? Why it's not namaz over here? Why it's not fasting over here? The Quran is not saying, okay, apart from those who believe and whoever performs namaz or fast or perform hajj. What is amal salih? We think that amal salih is only ibadat. We pray, that is amal salih. No, that's not the amal salih. Namaz, no, namaz is not amal salih. It's one of the amal salih is namaz. Fasting is one of the amal salih. But it can be amal salih and it can be ghayr salih. As I earlier said, if I'm praying for the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is amal salih. The salat will become amal salih. If I'm praying for someone else and I'm not praying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will not be considered as amal salih, even though I'm praying. It will be considered as an exercise, just standing up and sitting down. So amal salih, what is amal salih? What? Otherwise, if you are not doing amal salih and we don't know what is amal salih, we are at the loss. So we have to find out what is amal salih. There is a hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salatu was salam. Somebody asked that, can there be a sin which is better than a good deed? Can there be a sin which is better than a good deed? Imam Ali said, yes. A sin, after committing a sin, if a person feels ashamed of committing that sin, is better than a person after performing a good deed feels proud. If he feels the takabbur after performing a good deed, even after performing a namaz or fasting or any other good deed, if a person feeling proud after performing a good deed, he is worse than a person who's committed a sin and he is sorry about his deed, sorry about his bad deed, sorry about his committing the sin. So a good deed can turn into a bad, and a bad thing can turn into a very good thing. So amal salih, what is amal salih? Amal salih comes from the word salih. Actually, the word salih means salahiyya, the potential. Any amal which has got the potential of becoming a good deed is amal salih. We can make our namaz amal salih if we are praying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can make sleeping even amal salih if we are sleeping for the love of Ahl Bayt. If we are sleeping for the rizayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are helping anyone and we are not trying to show off, okay, when we try to help someone, we try to make it very evident. We want to everyone else to find out. Okay, whenever I'm just taking out some money and giving it to others, I will make sure that at least 5 people is looking at me. So that everyone finds out that, okay, I'm doing something. So whenever we do that, that is not the salih work. That is not the salih thing. If we do anything which we make it potentially acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is amal salih. We may be praying every day, we may be fasting every day, but if we are not praying for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is just standing and sitting. That is not salat. If we are fasting and we are just trying to show off to the people, we are not fasting for the Allah, we are fasting for the people, that is not amal salih. That is being hungry. That is not even a fast. So anything which we do, I'm forgetting the name of the alim, and someone asked him that, is it possible that Imam alayhi salatu was salam does a mubah thing which is not wajib and which is not haram or mustahab or makruh, a mubah which is allowed? He said, It's been 40 years, I myself have not committed any mubah act. It's always mustahab. We can make our every act mustahab. When we are even drinking water, we can make that act of drinking mustahab. We can get the reward out of it. All we have to do, after drinking water, we have to send salawat on Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salatu wa salam. So it's not a big thing. We don't have to put effort in it. But by a very small thing, we can convert our mubah act as amal salih. As I said, you don't have to be very, very, you don't have to push yourself. You don't have to put effort in it. It's very simple things. When we feel that now our body needs a rest, now we have to sleep, just to say, I want to sleep for the love of Allah so that I could wake up early in the morning to pray, so that wake up early in the morning to go to work, to provide a halal rizq to our family members. That is it. You are sleeping, but the act of sleeping is actually ibadah. When we are going out on our work to our school, we are going to the work with the intention that we are going to get to a halal rizq for our family, that going to the work is mustahab. We are going to get the reward for it. We don't have to keep that intention every single second in our heart that we are doing a mustahab act, No, Allah don't need that. Just once, before going out of your home, if you intend to get the rizq halal for the family, for to the sustenance of your family, that's it. That act, the whole day will automatically turn into amal salih. For amal salih, we don't have to push ourselves, we don't have to do an extra work. Whatever we do in our daily lives can turn into amal salih. For amal salih, there is nobody big or small, nobody is young and old. Anybody can do these things. You don't have to be a free man or a slave. Everybody in the eyes of Allah is equal. When we're living in a society, we have to take care of others. We have to take care of our neighbors, of our community members, of our oldest brothers and sisters who can't work. Those who are old enough, they can't work. We have to take care of them. That is our responsibility. We live in a society. During the time of Prophet, whoever was old, Prophet used to provide them with the money from Baytul Mal. We have to do the dua for the reoccurrence of Imam Zamana Ajjalallah Ta'ala Faraju Sharif. So that he could come and implement the real Islam which we need, which is actually can help every individual and every person living in a society. It is both good and bad. He is going to take care of everyone. When he will come, there will be good people and there will be bad people. But he will take care of everyone. He will try to get rid of the badness from the society. He will do everything possible to get rid of the evil from the society. So, in the eyes of Allah, everybody is equal. If you look into Karbala, over there, it doesn't matter if a person is a free man or a slave. Today, I want to talk about a slave of Abadan, John. There was no difference in the eyes of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. It doesn't matter whether he is a person who is a free man or a slave. If you look into the Karbala, when the closest of the companions got martyrdom and they got martyred in the plains of Karbala, John came to Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam. what he's trying to do, he's a slave, he doesn't have to fight. He, whatever is going to happen at the end of the day, he will be taken slave again. So he can save his life. But he came to help the Imam. He comes forward, the ma'rifah which we need, we don't have to be a free man. A slave can have a better ma'rifah than a free man. Than a free man. A young boy can have a better ma'rifah than an old fellow. When John came and asked for the permission of Imam Hussain, that please give me the permission, I want to go to the plains of Karbala, I want to go to the battlefield, and I want to sacrifice myself upon you. You are the master of Karbala. You are the master of the Ahlul Bayt. We want you to stay. We don't want to stay and you just get martyred. Imam Hussain puts his head down and starts crying. And John realizes that Imam Hussain is not trying to give him the permission to go to the battlefield. And he said, why don't you want to give me the permission? Because I am a black in color, my skin is black, that is why you're not giving me the permission. My body gives a foul smell, that is why you're not giving me the permission. Imam Hussain says, no, I don't want to give you the permission. I wanted to keep you for after Karbala to take care of Imam Sajjad. You know, if you want to go to the Karbala, if you want to fight, go and get the permission from Imam Sajjad. John goes to Imam Sajjad. He wakes him up and says, please give me the permission. I want to go to the battlefield. Imam Ali ibn Hussain gives him the permission. I give you the permission. You can go and sacrifice your life from my behalf. On my behalf, please go and sacrifice your life. John comes back and tells Imam Hussain, I have been given the permission to sacrifice myself. John goes to the battlefield, he fights, he kills a lot of people. When he gets killed, when he got injured, he falls on the plains of Karbala and says, Ya Sayyidi Adrikni, please help me, Ya Mawla, please come and help me. Imam Hussain comes to John and takes his head and puts it on his lap and says, John, please give my salam to Rasulullah. You are before me. You are going to be the Rasulullah before me. What he does over there, the same act he did with Ali Akbar, he puts his cheek upon his cheek and says, Ya John, look, I am mixing my blood with your blood. There is no difference between a slave and a free man in the eyes of Hussain alayhi salam. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّمٌ قَلِبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ.